I just want us to think, just for these last few minutes that we have before we close, about what God thinks about us, what he thinks about you. You know, when you're young and you're not married and you're looking for someone, do you ever find yourself thinking, I wonder what somebody's thinking? I wonder what she's thinking. I wonder what she thinks of me. Or I wonder what he thinks of me. And how do you find out? Well, you might test the waters a little bit. You might chat and see what kind of response you get. Have you ever had a difficult relationship with someone and you wonder what they're thinking about you? Have you ever walked into a room, you've had difficulty with somebody, and they're talking intensely with somebody. As you walk in the room, they look at you and the conversation stops. And you think, oh, okay, I wonder what they're talking about. I wonder what they're thinking about me. Actually, it might not have been about you at all, right? But because you've had a problem, you wonder. In the human sphere, we have ways to figure out what somebody's thinking. One of the ways is you go and ask them, and I guess that's got the most integrity. You know, if you've had a problem, to say, you know, are we okay? Or I guess these days a guy or a girl could ask the other one out and say, do you want to go out for a coffee or something? There are ways to figure it out. But what about when it comes to God? How do you figure out what God's thinking about you? You can't really go to him and say to him, God, what are you thinking about me? And expect him to talk to you. I'm not saying that God never speaks to us, but it's pretty hard to figure out what God thinks of us. We can have an opinion. We come to opinions about things in life, and we usually do it by various, you know, components of figure things out. But suppose you're going through really, really hard times. Might that affect your opinion about God, what thinks of you? You might think that you're being punished, or that God is not pleased with you. Or if you're going through a really good time, you might think that God is smiling on you. And you know what? Your opinion might make you feel better or worse, but the truth is, it might not be at all true. Like, you could have any opinion you want that makes you feel better or worse, but that doesn't really affect what God's thinking about you. One time in the summer, those of you who are here, remember we talked about having an opinion about whether man really landed on the moon or not. And there are conspiracy theories. There are people who absolutely believe that we did not really land on the moon, that it was all just a great TV scam. And I heard on the news just within the last month, a top general in the Pakistani army wondering aloud on TV whether Osama bin Laden was really dead. And you can have an opinion whether he is or he isn't. The fact is, your opinion might make you feel good. You might congratulate yourself. You might think you're right. But your opinion really has nothing to do with whether Osama bin Laden's dead or not, right? He either is or he isn't. Whether man landed on the moon, your opinion doesn't really change whether he did or whether he didn't. And the same thing could be true, that we might think that God either is angry at us or that he loves us, but we're kind of at sea if it's just our opinion. And so I want to suggest for us today some steps that we can build into our lives to help us know what God's thinking about us. The first step that's very related to your opinion, that you might explore, is your feelings. I have a brother-in-law who you've met, Steve. He's kind of our leadership consultant. He's a pastor of a large church down in Lexington, Kentucky. And Steve always believes, he's such an optimist, he's just always just feels that God loves him and is going to bless him in his life and his church. And Steve just never leaves the place of just being able to enjoy that God loves him. And Steve just would say, well, I just know it's true. I just feel it. My experience is the exact opposite. I have to struggle, sorry to be honest, but I have to struggle to believe that God really loves me. You know what? I believe that he so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes will not perish. I believe that God loves the world. But does he really love me, like him and Jim? Does he really love me, or is that kind of a struggle? And my feelings don't help me on that one at all. And I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's our parenting. Maybe it's just our personality. Maybe, I don't know what it is. But the fact that you feel a certain way about God's love towards you, well, I guess you'd be better off if you were like my brother-in-law, Steve. At least you would feel better about it. But what if you're not that kind of a person? And what if you struggle to wonder whether God really, really does care about you or really does love you, the person? So let me start by saying this. Feelings are not the best way to create your view or your opinion about whether God loves you. Feelings, I'm going to come back to them, but they're not reliable. Can't be reliable. I bet you every person in this room would have different feelings about God's attitude towards them. So let's move from feeling to another one that might really think, well, then you're really wrong about this one, Jim. How about knowing? Can we know? Not just feel or have an opinion. Can we know if God loves you? How would you know if, say, I loved you? Well, you could watch how I treat you. That would be a good way. But if you were doubtful about whether, and this does happen to me, people have come to me and say, Jim, are you angry at me? And I'll say, why are you thinking that? Well, you know, when you walked by me that time, you didn't look at me and you looked like you were scowling. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm so sorry. I must have been distracted. I didn't even see you there. But I love you. And then you have two things to judge right then. Well, first of all, what you've just heard, and secondly, does Jim tell the truth? Would Jim just be saying that because he's a pastor or something, or does Jim really love me? So you have to evaluate those two things. If God were to talk to us, we would just have to know for sure what he was saying and then whether he speaks the truth. And here's where we're all on a spiritual journey. Everybody's on a different place in the journey. And some of us here perhaps aren't even sure that there is a God yet. Or maybe you're nowhere near the place where Christianity finds its foundation, at the place where we believe this is God's word. We really believe that God has spoken to us through his prophets and through his apostles. Everything that we did today is based on God's word. We worshiped him because this word tells us that he created the universe and he's worthy of our worship. We had communion because this word tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his son to die for us. The scripture guides us. It tells us truth. That's the whole foundation of Christianity. So now you can be even a Christian like me and have this word and still wrestle with whether God really, really loves me. You can still wrestle with that. The question that I have then is, all right, if we really believe this is God's word and he really has told us, the next question is, does he speak the truth? And our theology says, yeah, God can't lie. And therefore, the second thing that I have to do, the first thing is kind of ignore my feelings, at least for a while, and say, well, what does God actually say about his attitude towards me? Because I do believe he would speak the truth. For example, if I feel that God is angry or judgmental towards me, that I'm never good enough, never do good enough. But his word says, Jim, he forgives all your iniquities. In fact, we read, as far as the east is from the west, so far the Lord has removed our transgressions from us. So my feelings might say to me, God probably isn't very happy because he knows that I have sinned. But his word says, no, Jim, he forgives all your sins. Forget that. That's not a problem. What about his love? Does he love us begrudgingly? Does he love us just because he has to or because his word says he does? Or does God love me ecstatically? Well, his word says, and I don't have it up here, but his word says, and we read it. And by the way, our brother who read that in Spanish, he read it very slowly. That was so good for me to hear every word and to hear, just as high as heaven is above the earth, so great is his love towards us. Is it possible that God loves me that much? I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about me or you. Does God love you so much that it's like as high as the heaven is above the earth? And then it says, as a father has compassion or loves his children, so God has compassion on those who love him. I haven't been a father, and maybe that's why I don't identify that well with that verse. But there was a time in my life when there was a little girl in my life. I was friends with a another single woman. We were just friends. But she had a three-year-old girl, and for the two or three years that we were friends, I bonded with that little girl. Some of my happiest memories in my whole life were having that little girl on my shoulders. One time we were at Marineland, Niagara Falls, and I was walking around Marineland with this little girl on my shoulders, and she was like drumming on my head and hugging my head and putting her hands on my face. My whole life, that's about my happiest memory. And that girl, every once in a while I bump into her, she's about 20 now. That was my taste of how a father might love his child. And I'm telling you, it almost had nothing to do with her performance, good or bad. I just loved this little girl. I just loved her. And I try to picture that, and I say, God, do you love me like that? The Bible talks about him carrying us on his shoulders. To picture ourselves on his shoulders, that's what he says, like a father loves his children, as the heavens higher than the earth. And so can I say to my feelings, Jim, your feelings are wrong. God loves you just like he would carry you around on his shoulders. Is he disappointed in us? Do you think God is often disappointed that you didn't measure up? But what does his word say? It says he knows our frame. He's mindful that we're but dust. That means God doesn't expect too much from you. He's not disappointed. He knows that's what you're made of. He knows that you're just a human and that we are born in sin and that we do our best, but our best is often fragmented and broken. He's not disappointed. He knows what we're made out of. Dust. Just not much. What about this? Do we get what we deserve? Does God give us, we've sinned and therefore he judges us and that's only right? Is that how he treats us and therefore we go through our life just thinking, well, I deserve this? And yet the scripture says he has not dealt with us according to our sin. That's why when you're suffering and you say, I think God is punishing me, that's not what the scripture says. You feel like he's mad at you, punishing. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he does not deal with us according to our sin. Who did he deal with according to our sin? Jesus. That's why Jesus was crucified. Did any of you see The Passion of the Christ, that movie? Or at least you know about it, right? And how brutal his crucifixion was? That's how God dealt with our sin. So he doesn't deal now with our sin according to it as it deserves. And we say, well, then what about am I just reaping then the results of my sin? He's not punishing me for them, but I'm facing the consequences. Well, that may be true. But listen to what his word says. Does he pay us back? Like, do we have to pay back for our mistakes, even if it's not punishment? But look what he says. He redeems our lives from the pit. That means you're the one that gets in the pit. You're the one that made the bad mistakes. You're the one that dug the hole. But what does God do? Say you made your bed, lie in it? This says no. He gets you out of that pit. He's there to rescue you, not to say this is your fault. Now, all of these verses that I memorized ages ago and known them all my life, I have to confess this is about the hardest thing for me in my Christian life. This is the hardest thing for me, is to believe that God really loves me. And that, you know, the verse that God works all things together for good to those who love Him. Could you really believe that? That He loves you so much that the things that other people have done, the weaknesses you have, the things that you have done, the messes that you have made, could you actually take this verse and believe that God works everything together for your good? That's how much He loves us. And you know what I've been saying as this? I've been saying, would you believe it? I think that's the biggest problem. I don't think the biggest problem is knowing. You know, if at all you're a Christian, if at all you believe that this might be God's word in any sense at all, it's one thing to read it. You know, I don't have any problem, frankly, believing that I'll go to heaven when I die, because I believe Jesus died for me. But I struggle with this one, and I've known these verses for so long. And here is a verse that has come to me as I prepared this short talk. 1 John 4:16 says this. Listen to this verse. We have come to know, and what else have we done? And we have believed the love God has for us. Do you realize we need both things there? We've come to know, okay, we read the verses, that's God's word, He doesn't lie, He tells us the truth. We've come to know it, but what if we don't really believe it? Believe it enough to rest in it and to let it put me to bed at night and to transform how I think. I hear God saying, Jim, you've got to add another dimension to what you know. You've got to start believing what I tell you. So I'm working on this one. God tells me that He loves me just as high as the heaven is above the earth. I'm trying to work on it. I've mentioned we had a funny time in our small group this week. We had seven people, and we were talking about being real with God. And three of us said we have no problem being real and honest with God because we are sensitive and emotional. And I said, yeah, I cry every time I preach. I'm one of those. And the other three said, well, we're not that sensitive. We're not even sure we're in touch with our own feelings, let alone tell God about it. And then the seventh person, the tiebreaker, said she's a bit of both. So we ended up kind of thinking maybe they're half and half. So excuse me when I hit the tears. Last night as I was sitting, after a busy, busy day, I was sitting on my couch just meditating quietly before the Lord. My two cats, which are kind of, they were feral cats, I took them in. They don't like to be touched much either. But the one came up and hopped on my lap last night and cuddled in and just sat there purring for maybe 15 minutes. It was so beautiful. And I almost blew the song, sorry, that we sang. Which song has the la 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 verse? Sing for joy, right? And we got to the la la la, and I blew the chords. So Steph said, just stop. I said, no, we got to sing the la 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 part. And you know why that is? It's because when I do the la 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 part, the songs that have no words, that's when I think about creation. The Bible says it doesn't have words, but it sings praise. And I love to picture my little cat sitting on my lap, can't speak, but joining in worship that God is so good, and God loves us, and He cares for us, even that He would do little things like that, like give me a cat on my lap last night. We have come to know, but have we really believed how much God loves us? I want us to go home and reread Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord. And don't forget His benefits. And read all the things that He says. And then don't go through the rest of the day and the week really believing that God's mad at you or that He doesn't love you or that He's unhappy or disappointed. That's maybe, if you're like me, your feelings. And maybe, you know, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the first thing they did, they went and hid, right? They didn't want to see God because they knew that they had disappointed and failed. They knew they deserved judgment. They went and hid. But what we have to do is know and believe that he loves us. So maybe we should just go home and say, Lord, let's make a deal. I know that I'm going to fail you. And I know that I'm going to fail other people. And I know that I'm not going to be all that you want me to be. But I'm going to believe that you love me anyway. And I'm going to do my best whenever you talk to me to correct things. So if there's something wrong in my life, just be sure I know. And I'll get it right, Lord. But I got to believe you love me more than I can even imagine. How much does God love us? Let me offer you another verse. Ephesians 3:19 says that we can come to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That means it's not just knowing as in reading. I think that it's going to come back to feelings. I think that, you know, I said if we just start on our feelings, it's unreliable. Sometimes you have to tell your feelings you're wrong. You know, so talk to your heart. Don't listen to your heart. But I think that as you start to believe that God loves you and you get really firm about that, say, no, I'm not going to let go of this. I believe you love me. Then as we start to believe him and trust him, he starts to respond by giving us peace and joy and assurance that, yes, I do love you like that. That's the way God works. We say, Lord, show me and then I'll believe. And God says, no, 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 you believe, and then I'll show you. And I think if we were to take him at his word and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to believe you love me like that, that he'll say, I'm going to show you. And before you know it, you're going to be telling people, I just know God loves me. I know it. How do you know? I can't tell you how. This says it's past knowledge. I just know he loves me. He says he does, and I've been believing it. And you know what? Now it's just a part of my being. Listen to this verse. This is stunning. John 17:23. Jesus prayed that the world may know that God sent him and love them. Who's the them? It's his followers, right? That you love them how? Even as you loved me. Is that not incredible? Jesus is praying that his disciples will be known because they know that God loves them just as God loved Jesus. Did Jesus ever disappoint God? Did he ever fail? Did he ever sin? No. God loved him maybe because he was perfect. But now Jesus said, but you love them just like you love me. That can't be just because we're perfect. God loved the Son because he was his Son. And God loves you because you're his daughter or because you're his son. Imagine God loving us just like he loves Jesus. And then Jesus says, John 15:9, and as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Would you be bold enough to believe that? Would you be bold enough to just start telling your heart, God does love me like that? Now, I want to just end with one more word. We talked about feeling, knowing, believing. I want to talk about the word choosing. Because that verse that, is John 15:9 still up there? As the Father has loved me, or I say staying, I have also loved you. Notice what he says, abide in my love. Know what that means? That means that God's love for us is never going to change. It is unconditional. It will not change. But we have to make a choice to stay where his love is. See, he says, abide in my love. And he gave an example, it's recorded in the book of Luke, a parable about a father who loved his son. But his son got rebellious and left the father and ended up ruining his life and losing everything. And the boy was away and he thought, oh, if I only went home, would my dad even receive me as a slave? But Jesus told us about the dad. And every day, the dad was watching in case his son might come home. Every day, he was watching. In other words, the father's love never changed. It never was diminished. But his son did move away from his love. His son moved out from under the shelter and protection of his father's love. And when the son came home, the father ran out to meet him, hugged him, threw a party, and wouldn't even let the boy apologize. He was so happy to see him. So there is a certain dimension of choice here. And the choice would be this, and I hinted at it already. The deal I said I would make with God is, God, I'm going to believe that you love me. But if you show me any way in my life or anything that I need to know and change, I will correct it. And that's how you stay in his love. It's not by being perfect. It's not by never failing. It's not even by being sure that you've got your life together. It's by responding when he tells you something. So if there's something in your life that you know is not right before God, and you don't let go of it and you don't deal with it, you're kind of stepping out from under that protective umbrella. If you're moving away from God, and he'll never stop loving you, but you can move yourself out from under his love. So the calling is, Jesus said, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now stay in my love. Stay where I love you. I just dream that and hope that our church family, and as we learn today to love one another in our different languages, that we would be able to be the kind of people that know we are loved by God. We choose to believe what he's told us. And as we practice that and believe it and build it into the fiber of our being, that will enable us to love one another more. We love, why? Because he first loved us. That enables us. And then Jesus said, and the world will know that you belong to me when you love each other like that. We're here for our community, right? We're here for our city. And as we learn to immerse ourselves, be covered by the love of God, and share that love, we will be the kind of church that people will be drawn to Christ. It would be fun for me to take a poll and say, how many of you just know that God loves you? And how many of you are struggling to believe it? It would be an interesting thing to see. But if you're like me and you're one who struggles, I invite you to believe what you know, that he loves you and cares for you forever. We're going to sing a song that is, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He is so good. He loves us so much.